I'm joined by 90.7 political commentators Dick Batchelor and Lou Fry. Dick Batchelor, former Democratic State House representative. He's also the founder and president of the Dick Batchelor Management Group. Dick, welcome to the program.
Good to be back. Thank you.
And Lou Fry, former Republican congressman, founder of the Lou Fry Institute for Politics and Government at the University of Central Florida. Lou, nice to see you again.
Always good to be here.
The Florida legislative session is just a week old since the state didn't take federal funds to expand Medicaid last year, but is facing a $2.2 billion deficit in funding if the federal government pulls a low-income health care program. So Medicaid's still kind of on the table. Dick Batchelor, what are your thoughts?
I think it is. You've got two issues. One, the Medicaid expansion is not in the budget, of course, and there's also another program called low-income program, LIP, LIP program, which is about $2 billion, which the state said, the federal government said they will not fund after June. So now you're looking at between a $2 and a $3 billion impact there. The last point I'll make is Senator Andy Gardner has asked his staff to look at the Medicaid expansion program, which would be a hybrid program, which the Senate passed last year, which would be take the Medicaid dollars and put it in the private sector to acquire private insurance. So I'm encouraged that there's not a no from both the House or the Senate.
Lou Fry, are you encouraged?
Yeah, I've gone through this so much up and down, and will it happen or will it won't happen? And it seems to me you're looking at something that the state Senate is going to act on, and a smile from Andy Gardner isn't going to open this whole bill up.
So you don't see the Senate president having a huge impact either way?
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. What I did say is that there is an impact coming from it, but it's a very minor one at the moment, and he hasn't put any of his resources out there, his political resources, in order to do it. He's certainly got the clout if he gets a chance to use it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we'll see some of that as the session unfolds?
Well, you know, he said that there'd be some talk about it, so yeah.
Well, Dick Batchelor, healthcare leaders lobbying for the expansion this session. Do you think their lobbying is kind of finding the ear of the lawmakers?
I think so, too. In addition to the healthcare providers like the hospitals, particularly the not-for-profit hospitals, those are most at risk if they don't get the funding in the LIP program. But also you have the Chamber of Commerce, Associated Industries of Florida, and the businesses are getting behind it. They see it as a very substantial economic impact to the state.
Okay, so what happens if it doesn't pass this year? I mean, we talked about this last year, of course, but it didn't happen. Do you see a special session if that doesn't happen, or is this kind of too early to say?
Always a threat. Gets people's attention to it. And you've used a few days up. You know, you don't want to take all the time on this. It seems every time the legislature goes into session, they talk about this and that, and it doesn't ever really move much. But that's a lot of money floating out there, Dick.
A lot of money floating. And you've got these variables. One, you've got a $1 billion surplus, anticipated surplus in the budget. But the governor's already peeled off about $700 million that he would like to see in tax cuts. So the question is, will the legislature, led by the Republicans, give him the $700 million in toto, or are they going to go look at the Medicaid expansion? So there's going to be a trade-off someplace.
If we could segue to what former Florida Governor Jeb Bush is up to, he looks more and more like a presidential candidate.
Shock.
Dipping his toe in the water there. What were your thoughts, Lou Fry, first of all, on his appearance at CPAC, that annual conference for conservatives? Did he come out of that a winner?
Yeah, I think he did. I think he handled himself well. He had some questions that were tough as far as his point of view went, and I think he's handled himself well. When you look back at what he did as governor, he was well prepared. He was well briefed on what to handle and how to handle it. And when you look around to the Republicans, at one point there were 16, I think, Republicans who were thinking of running. Now when you look at it, and you're going to see the six-month or the report come out, and that you're going to see not much money for anybody but Bush. And who's left? I mean, you know, who's left standing? Who would you guys pick out?
Dick Batchelor, what are your thoughts? I mean, as Lou said, he got some tricky questions there, immigration being one of those questions. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you seem kind of able to do this tap dance and come out ahead?
It looks at overall strategy. The CPAC is going to stand his ground on Common Core. He's standing his ground on the immigration issue. Then he went out to Iowa to the agriculture summit, I'm going to call it, with all the candidates out there, and still held to his guns there. But so is he basically writing off Iowa, you know, because you don't need Iowa to win the nomination.
How do you know if he's written off Iowa?
I don't know if he's written it off, but, you know, but he's taken positions. In fact, is one of the strongest issues out there is a subsidy for ethanol. He goes, that has to be rescinded too. So he's really coming with three messages that the conservatives don't particularly like, and the people who participate in the caucus now are very, very conservative. So he might be saying, I'll play Iowa, but I'm not going to give all my chits to Iowa.
You got to add, look at the electoral votes, look and see how important Florida is going to be. And, you know, Iowa, obviously, every one or two votes does count in this kind of vote counting, but you can't plan your whole campaign around it. And I think he's using his head and running a pretty smart campaign. Hey, elections are simple. You take your conservative or your liberal part and you run towards the center for it. And then when it comes to the general election, you move back towards the center. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you just have to take enough votes in the center to carry the day. You're not going to with the right, and you're not going to with the left.
And to that end, too, I think 291,000 people voted in the caucuses last time. 291,000 people, and we give all this attention to Iowa, number one. And number two, 57% of those people self-recognize themselves as evangelical Christians. So that doesn't reflect the whole country. Nothing wrong with it, but it doesn't reflect the whole country. So, you know, winning Iowa is not winning the United States.
And then you get the New Hampshire, which has its own. Each person thinks knows everything about that state, everything. And you've campaigned up there, and they turn out and they're serious about it. But who knows what's going to send them off? And again, you add Iowa to New Hampshire, and you got enough for a real fight over a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm. What about Hillary Clinton?
Hillary's needs to come out. First of all, she needs to respond to this whole thing about the emails, whether or not she put them all on her personal computer or not. She just needs to address that very, very quickly and get it behind her. And then she needs to get now into the campaign. It might be a little bit precipitate, but she needs to get into the campaign, start raising money now. She's being attacked. No one in the primary, but she's being attacked by the candidates and the generals. So at some point in time, you've got to go ahead and get your power cranked up.
Mm-hmm. Based on past record, though, do you see her coming out and just saying something very clear and straightforward about those emails?
Well, I think she'll do that, too, mm-hmm. but I think it also might nudge her to
clear?
Get into this early. As clear as we need to be.
Yeah. that'll put some money
it
down.
Depends on what is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about Marco Rubio? We talked about Jeb Bush. In fact, Senator Nelson has said he thinks Marco Rubio is running and made a joke, I think, about saying that maybe he should put his name in the hat as well. Lee Fry, what are your thoughts on Rubio?
I think Rubio's smart. I think he's tested the water. I think he's looked at it, and I think he's got some problems with it, especially within the Republican Party. I think he's a great candidate a few years down the road, but I would certainly mature and take over the leadership positions as he's had a chance. He's not going to be a backbencher. And why not enjoy being a U.S. senator? There aren't many of them running around.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certainly not many of them running around who've got the clout and come from the third largest state in the country.
There are some, though, Dick Batchelor, some folks who are kind of sniffing the wind now that, you know, Marco Rubio is dabbling his toe in the presidential waters, Alan Grayson being one of those.
For the U.S. Senate seat, keep in mind, too, he might have a very tough time getting reelected. It's a presidential year. The Democrats turn out heavier in the presidential year, number one. Number two, he's had been saying that if he runs for president, he would resign his seat in the U.S. Senate, which is a very strong commitment. But now they're kind of saying, well, maybe if I get in the race and stay until May, I can still get out in time and file to run for re-election in the United States Senate. So he's beginning to hedge his bets on one hand and giving signs that he's running on the other hand. I think
you're talking about Rubio.
Rubio.
Yeah.
But I think the more important question, who's our governor going to endorse? Mm-hmm. And will it be one of those two?
One of the three people who are now functionaries, or not functionaries, but they're elected officials in Florida, and there aren't many of them running around.
Well, and the governor basically has said, you know, he's close to Chris Christie, he's close to Rick Perry, but maybe he endorses one of those on not two of the homegrown.
And the other thing, where's the governor going? Does he want to be the Secretary of Commerce of the new Republican administration coming out? Yeah, that's sort of, thank you. Yeah, that takes care of that argument.
You write that one down, I think.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be vice president, and he doesn't want to really just get involved in something. He's not going to be president, so there isn't much left for him to do.
Well, now, obviously, Rick Scott's word carries quite a bit of weight, newly reelected as governor, but sort of a year down the track, I mean, how many people do you think are going to be listening to what Rick Scott has to say in terms of presidential candidates?
How much money is Rick Scott going to raise for him? That's what that's where the money comes and the help and the organization comes from. And Scott mm-hmm. went from someone who was poorly organized and didn't know what he's doing to somebody who actually ran a campaign based on some smart political moves. I mean, you know, you got to give him credit. He knew nothing about it, but he was somewhat of a quick learner.
What do you think, Dick Batchelor? Does Scott have the kind of ground game to really get out the vote?
He has a ground game, in my opinion, only to the extent Florida is a major, major important primary state. So obviously the incumbent governor does. Now he has, interesting, again, I get back to the point, who is he going to endorse? Bush, Rubio, Perry? Who's he going to endorse? Somebody in the state, out of the state? If he endorsed somebody out of the state, which he could do, I think he loses a lot of gravitas, obviously, as governor at that point in time, because there's so many people who support the other two candidates. So it's a high-risk game there, but I think he wants to have leverage, and he has leverage by virtue of the fact that Florida is such an important state.
Let's talk about testing at the moment. Florida schools are going through some testing teething issues, I guess you could say, throughout the state with a new computer-administered standardized test. Some students last week unable to log onto the system, and that caused some delays. So we've got state senators calling for a timeout over testing until this is fixed. What do you see Governor Scott doing here, Lou Fry? Is this a moment for him to step in and sort of say timeout on
testing? Safe for him to be against. And that people should be for good, solid testing. But that doesn't mean they throw it all away. It's important as part of the whole process that we're going through in terms of the question of what are we going to do about civics and how are people going to do it. We figured out going in that you got to have testing. And I think that it also shows in the statistics that those people who actually use the system and use the internet and that kind of thing, they were, I think, 25 or 30% better in their returns on it than otherwise. So it makes sense, but let's not get overboard on the thing. And if you do, then you've wasted a lot of time and money.
Dick Batchelor, Education Commissioner Pam Stewart, how has she kind of responded to this effectively, do you think?
I think two things. One is, remember, she recommended that the governor do away with the arts testing, which is the first thing he did by executive order. And then she's now recommended that the legislature look at testing, maybe reduce the amount of tests, but not the accountability. As Lou said, you've got to have the accountability. They're not going to do away all the tests. There's legislation pending this session. It's moving very quickly. That will basically say you can only use 5% of your time for testing throughout the whole school year in some parameters like that, so you can take some of the pressure off but still have some accountability testing.
Testing we had, for instance, in our part was mandated by the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but it's good. I'm glad the spotlight's on it. It's worth, even if it's a bump in the road and sets us back a little bit, it doesn't take us away from the main course, which is to have a state that really knows what it's doing, that's instead of 46 in the country in civics illiteracy, it's 46th state in civics ability and understanding of our Constitution, which is really critical.
Do you see, Lou Fry, kind of a happy medium being struck between too much testing, not enough testing, some kind of middle road?
Yeah, I sort of live my life in terms of the legislature that way, and that's good. Maybe we should have thought more about it. But on the other hand, a lot of thought was given to it, and hopefully it will make it a better product. It's a good product, but it can be better.
Mm-hmm. Just keep in mind, the FCAT and that whole testing came out of the accountability under Jeb Bush. I mean, he was the one that still has his own foundation advocating this type of thing. And you do have the unions and all who would like to basically suspend any kind of testing that they kind of, quote, work out the kinks. But I don't see that happening. I think the legislature is going to maybe reduce the amount of tests. I think they will reduce the amount of time it takes for the test, but I think they'll still have accountability. You have to have accountability. Look, over 50% of the kids who go to community college need remedial courses, which is some commentary on a K-12 system, so you have to have testing at that level.
Lou Fry, final thoughts on things legislative in Tallahassee or elsewhere?
In essence, been somewhat of a quiet election kind of a period, and like everybody's gathering up their strength for the next run-in for the presidential race. And I think you're going to see a lot of focus on the national scene as to what's going to happen there, and that's where the headlines are going to come from. Let's just say, for example, the heat gets too hot in Hillary and something. Who runs for the presidency on the Democrat side? I mean, where is that going to come from? And so it'll be an interesting year, and Florida is going to be right there in the middle of it. Somehow or other, we are going to be in the middle of it.
Dick Batchelor,
there'll always be bumping the roads. I think Tallahassee, number one, is doing some things that I would applaud, but I get back to Lou's point. I really look at the federal, the presidential election. There'll be bumping the roads for Hillary and for every candidate in there. There's bumping the roads already for Jeb Bush, the charter school he started it with, and in bankruptcy, some investments he made overseas. So you're going to have all those kind of things. And then the closet will be emptied. And so it's going to be a bump in the road for a lot of these candidates.
And we'll be right there watching them bump.
I've been speaking to 90.7 political commentators Dick Batchelor and Lou Fry. Lou Fry, former Republican congressman, attorney at Lowndes, Drostick, Doster, Cantor and Reed, and founder of the Lou Fry Institute for Politics and Government. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
And, of course, Dick Batchelor, former Democratic State House representative and head of the Dick Batchelor Management Group. Nice speaking to you, too.
As they say in the South, my pleasure.